things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
This story is a bit peculiar. Jesus appears as just a guy cooking on a campfire for breakfast. This is really peculiar for the Gospel of John, a gospel that starts with the foundations of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. It starts so majestically zoomed out, it ends with breakfast. And it's not a fancy breakfast, or one wrapped in glory, but it's some fish and some bread. And this speaks deeply to who Jesus is and how Jesus wants to be in community with us. And so to look at this story, there the disciples are, out fishing. And this is the first time in the Gospel of John that this is mentioned. While we, having all four Gospels, remember the story from Matthew, "I will make you fishers of men," John does not have this story. We don't know that these men are fishers. And this might help it make a little more sense that they are really bad at fishing. They don't catch anything the whole night. It's kind of like me when I fish. My dad catches all everything, and I'm just like, what's going on? And so after these disciples spend the whole night fishing and finding nothing, they're still out there in the morning, frustrated, sad, hungry. And that's when Jesus shows up. Not in a flash of glory, on a chariot of gold, the story from last week of coming through a locked door, but through the soft steps of feet on sand, quiet, silent even. And Jesus makes them some fish and bread. And he is just there on the beach. And this is a very different kind of God than the God we think we expect. The God in the Psalter that marches onto Zion, or even the God of John 1. But it's very Jesus-y. He doesn't want attention. It's the Jesus that rides into Jerusalem on a colt that feeds the 5,000 and runs away. The Jesus that starts his ministry by turning water into wine to help a friend. This Jesus just shows up and makes some food. And the disciples are fed. And that is Jesus. What struck me as I worked my way through this text is that it doesn't say a whole lot explicitly. It's all woven in together that you have to look at a little bit underneath the surface. There's a bit of a controversy in the story on whether, when Jesus says, put your nets out on the other side, if this is a high providential act of the all-knowing God, or if he's a local who knows the area. And while John speaks the divinity of Christ throughout his gospel, this story does less to put Jesus above us and more beside us. Jesus is one of them. Jesus is one of us. The line blurs between teacher and disciples, although it's still there. But it moves towards Jesus and disciples as being closer to equal. In the words of John Calvin in one of his sermons on this text, Christ does not command with authority and power as master and Lord, but gives advice like one of the people. And Calvin notes that these disciples, they listen to Jesus before they know who he is, just assuming he's a knowledgeable local, one who can help them with their apparently terrible skill at catching fish. It is only after this miraculous catch that they identify him as the Lord. And it's an unexpected event, not foreshadowed by a previous story or a passage in the Old Testament. Instead, Jesus just shows up. Even if it's emergence after the resurrection, Jesus can choose to reveal himself into us in glorious ways, but Jesus chooses to make us food and eat with us on the beach. I wonder if he was any good at cooking. And if he wasn't, I don't think the disciples would say anything. But this story shows how God wants to connect with us. God does not just come in flashes of light and beautiful miracles and stylingly beautifully written sermons, but God can come to us at breakfast in doing these most mundane things. Flipping on a walk, in the car, reading a book, in other people's actions. We know God is so much more than just another person on the beach. But sometimes we have to remember that despite all of this distance, God wants to be close to us and feed us. God wants us to be in a relationship that is intimate and comforting. God can do both. God can show up in a miraculous large miracle that shifts our world, or God can show up in the words of 1 Kings and the sound of sheer silence. So can we find God at breakfast? And this is where the story offers something particularly useful. It's a two-part process. God comes and looks for us. The disciples were out fishing, and Jesus came to the beach to talk to them. The disciples did not ask. They did not wish. Jesus showed up just because he wanted to. They had no clue that he could be possibly coming. Even after his miraculous arrivals in the locked room in the previous chapters, he had gone. And as he stands on the beach, they do recognize him. And while God shows up to them, they have to make the final steps, or in Peter's case, swim to Jesus. God is there, God is here, but to listen and be fully in community with God is also on us. We have to recognize that the person on the beach is Jesus. And this is not an easy task. We can feel the Holy Spirit around us as we go through our lives, and sometimes we're very receptive to it. But sometimes it feels very far away. In the day-to-day, the grind of work and life, God can feel abstract as something we only feel in church. We have to remember that the Jesus and Holy Spirit do not just appear in church, but anywhere if we have the space to hear. And this text can bring a sense that people will just know, that the disciples just know. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's so much more complicated than that. But this text also shows us to take good advice when we hear it. Remember, these disciples listened before they knew it was the Lord, trusting the one who speaks with sound advice. We have to listen to the Lord, and we also have to listen to those that are saying things we need to hear. So how do we eat with Christ in this community? And is there a way for us to bring this into our lives? Yes, of course. There are communities, church and otherwise. As we eat and are in fellowship together, we embody the kind of relationship that God wants us to be in with each other and with God. A community that embraces people into it, one of intimate friendship, communal love, and community building. I have felt and been with this Spirit through my time here. Through God, you have all fed me, both physically during fellowship hour, but also in the Spirit. It is through you that I have felt this movement and spiritual nourishment through so many places, in liturgy, prayers, preaching, Bible study, visits, and yes, even consistory meetings. All of these places I have seen and felt Jesus in you all. In this space, both here and in the sanctuary, which I hope you'll move back into soon, together we are a community of Christ. Thank you so much for letting me into it. But also, bringing this out into the community. And I will be bringing you with me as I think of future plans in life. I'll always remember the space in this church and the openness through which you brought me in. Thank you. And I hope that you felt just a little bit of Jesus through me. For it's not through us, but through Christ that we draw our strength. Amen. Amen. Amen.